and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Monday Night Men and Women's Bible Study. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message.
Well, I want to welcome all you guys tonight to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Diana Cage, and I'm a servant leader here. And so I want to welcome you. I want to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Keep saying it, you know. Real quick before we start, you know, I just want to repeat Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's also Emmanuel, which means God with us, and that's in Matthew. What a great verse for this time of year and this season, and what a great thing for us to reflect upon and be mindful of as we go out, wherever we go and whatever we do, whether we're shopping or we're with family, to make sure that Christ is at the center of everything, because it's all about him, right?
Right?
Yeah, and without him, it's all for naught. That's right. Amen. It is his party. And we are privileged to have a seat at that party and someday to be at the wedding feast. Amen. I know I got a little name plate there. Hope all you guys do too, because I want to see all of you. Anyways, so when I was praying about John 13 and I was doing the lesson, I realized that this night all of a sudden was going to be cookies and gift exchange. And when I was praying, the Lord was like, you know, not right now. And he was saying, wait. He goes, I have another message for you. So for all you, if you did your homework, praise God, you're ahead. For those of you who did, you can catch up. So good news, we're not going to do 13 tonight because God gave me a different message. And so I'm going to be obedient to give this message because it's for somebody here or with our internet family. And I want to welcome them too. Anyway, so as I'm going along, you know, and I'm decorating for Christmas, I have a lot of things that say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And all of a sudden, God was going, well, Jesus is the reason for the seasons. That God and Jesus are not just about this short little time. He is all year long. He is constant. And we go through seasons in our lives as Christians. So when you look up seasons in the dictionary, it, you know, talks about the four divisions of the year: spring, summer, fall, winter. It talks about a fixed time in the year when a particular sport, like right now you guys are in football season, you know, or hockey season. And so the world kind of looks at seasons as, you know, a time, you know, to that's more worldly, not in a Christian perspective. But it goes on, and there's a couple other definitions, and it says a proper or suitable time, which I really liked, and an indefinite or unspecified period of time. It's a while. So sometimes our seasons are not short. Sometimes they are a while, and they are a proper suitable time, especially when we're under God. There's a suitable time for everything, and God is right on time, always. He is never late. Anyways, when I looked up seasons in Latin, the word is serere or satio. Both of those are Latin, which means to sow or sowing. So seasons are constant. They're never ending. It's like an action, a constant action. It just never stops. So seasons are just go on and on. But we're going to start actually in Ecclesiastes 3:1. So if you could turn with me and then we'll pray. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Is everybody there? Praise God. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Okay, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father God, for this time and this privilege to open up your word, Father God, and learn a little bit more about you and where we are with you, God, and how we can get closer to you and be better lights for you, Father God, better vessels for you to flow through, God, and use in a mighty way in this world that is dying and in need of a Savior, God, and especially at this time of year, Father God. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time that we spend studying seasons, God, and your timing and who you are, God, and what a great and mighty plan you have for each and every one of us in our own perfect time, in your perfect time, God, not in our time, Lord. So forgive me for that slip. In Jesus' name, amen. See, look at, I'm in the flesh already. Anyway, so Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I love this verse because the first thing that I notice about this verse is there is a season for everything, you know, and nothing is wasted and there's a purpose for everything. And that it's all under heaven. Do you realize that we walk under heaven every day? That's an awe, you know, statement. It's like, whoa, I'm walking under heaven. And so I loved reading that. And it just kind of spoke to me and it said, you know, God is all seeing and knowing. He is over everything. So who better to put your trust in? Who better to look to for your help? You know, because he's there all day long. And then if you scroll down to Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. You know, God is making each and every one of us beautiful in his time, not in ours. And he sees everything and knows everything. We can hide nothing from God. Praise you, Jesus. But we can hide things from man. So we don't know what other people are going through a lot of the times. We don't know their hearts. Only God knows the heart. And we can't guess at it. And we shouldn't. Because that's God's, you know. And I don't want to enter God's domain. In Jesus' name. Amen? It also says that we are sealed for eternity. And I love that we are sealed for eternity. And it's like, you know, sometimes I hear people kind of worry about their salvation. You're sealed. You accept Jesus Christ, man. The Holy Spirit comes in and you are sealed for eternity. And it says it right here. He has also set eternity in their heart. He sealed you. He's claimed you. You are his. And when I think of that and I think about how we think about our lives, you know, we're always trying to guess what our futures or we're trying to make our futures. We're trying to do everything when God is just sitting there going, you know, cry out to me, call to me. You know, I have a great and mighty plan for your life. I have a season for you, you know, if you're ready to receive it and to walk in it. And, but you know, God just wants us to keep our eyes on, you know, our eyes on him. And, you know, I know that I fail. Like some days I try and do it all myself and I find that I'm kind of wasting my time. But the minute I sit down and I say, God, I need your help, all of a sudden my day gets in order and I get more done than what I was hoping to get done. And he's never failed me. But anyways, if you can turn to Proverbs 3:5-6. Sorry, I like going to verses a lot. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says, you probably all heard this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding in all thine ways or thy ways, your Bible might say, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So this tells us that we are to lean on God in all things because he knows everything. And then in Ecclesiastes 3:14, you don't have to turn back there because it's just a couple of verses down from 11. It says, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. So when God does it, we talked about it, that we're sealed for eternity, but when God does it, it's eternal. When we do it, it's not eternal. It can kind of waste away, and we can go right back into the same habits. When God comes in, he is the eternal. He makes it eternal. And only through God can it be eternal. So, and it's whole and complete, lacking in nothing. Stay with me. Anyways, so when I was thinking about seasons and I was just kind of going through the Bible and I was kind of researching, I realized that there are like four different kind of descriptions of our seasons with God. So those four things are, as Christians, you know, we are either walking, we're standing, we're running, or we're sitting. Okay. And each of these paints a picture of the different seasons we might find ourselves in as Christians. The first one, sometimes we are in a season of walking. This makes me think of our daily, you know, our daily routine of being faithful to the Lord, being in the Word, praying unceasingly, kind of crying out to Him during the day if we need help. In Ephesians 5:2, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." I love this verse because I thought of Snooki 2 weeks ago when she taught on John 12, and she talked about Mary and how she had the flask of oil and how she came into Jesus, and you could feel the love and then the fragrant essence of the oil. And that's what our lives should be like. You know, Mary really painted a picture of kind of how we're supposed to be. I'm more like a Martha. You know, I want God to see that the house is clean and, you know, and the food's prepared and everything's set. And I'm like, oh, God's going to know how much I love Him because I did this. And then, like, Mary gets all the kudos. You know, I'm like, because she just sat there. I'm like, Jesus, you know, what about me? Anyways, but, you know, I need to be more like a Mary. So that's an area that God is working with me, because I am a hummingbird and I go, 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 go. And in fact, I do most of my praying in a car because that's where I sit the most. So I'm not, can't teach what you don't know, people. Anyways, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And so when we're walking in faith, again, we're walking in this season of our life. And I don't know where you're at, but in this season of walking, God is really calling us to have faith. He's waiting for us to be obedient and take that step that He's calling us to take. Sometimes when we're walking with the Lord and we're trying to build ourselves up and be in the Word, you know, sometimes we've got all the time in the world and we're spending tons of time with God and we're getting built up. And then all of a sudden, we might get a job, or we might, you know, start volunteering, and then we have less time, and now we're having a hard time trying to find that time with God. And so we have to really walk by faith and make a decision to really, you know, give God, you know, His due time, because we know that if we're not built up, we're not going to be able to stand, you know, when the other stages of seasons come in our life. So in Colossians 1:10, it says, "So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So that season is the walking season. The second season that we can find ourselves in is the standing season. And when I always think of standing and the words in the Bible when it talks about standing, it's always in regards to spiritual warfare. You stand, you know what I mean? And so in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, "Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." Don't ask me why that verse says that. But there has to be an example, because in the history, men were the great warriors. And we have people like David, you know, so we have good examples. So we can receive that in Jesus' name. And then in Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." When we're in that standing season, we are standing for God. We are standing, you know, in the gap, you know what I mean, with Jesus by our side, man. And you better have that full armor on, or, you know what I mean, the enemy's going to get in. If you forget to put on that breastplate of righteousness, you know, those darts are going to come, and they're going for your heart. He's not playing games. The enemy's not playing a game. So you need to stand firm. I always get dry. Anyways, and then, and Ephesians 6:11, after that, it goes on to the various parts of the armor of God. So make sure you read that, because that is so important. One thing I do, just for my own experiences in life, you know, understand that spiritual warfare, sometimes you'll go through spiritual warfare and sometimes you'll break through and there'll be a breakthrough in something. But sometimes in spiritual warfare, you're just going to stand. You're just going to stand. You're not going to go backwards. You're not going to go forward. Sometimes you're just going to be right where you are, but you stood for the Lord. So do not think that there is a failure here. You stood and you didn't go back. So understand that sometimes you're not going to see the breakthrough at that point, but the fact that you stood, because sometimes we have to stand and you know what I mean? But sometimes we get that breakthrough. So I don't know if you guys understand that, but I have definitely been there where I've been in prayer for something and I can feel the spiritual battle and I am standing and I'm standing firm and I am in the Word. And, you know, and I'm kind of hoping, you know, that something breaks, you know, with the person I'm praying for, but it doesn't change, but it doesn't get any worse because, you know, you can feel the enemy and you're just like standing. I don't know how to explain it. So if you have a question, if anyone's confused, let me know later and I'll try and explain it more, but it's something that just kind of came to me through my own experiences. So that's a standing season. And then there's a season of running. And in Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us." You know, I think of those times when God puts a challenge before us and that we need to exert the best of our time, our talents, and our treasure. I mean, we have to give it our all. In Psalms 119:32, it says, "I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart." You know, we just have to stand fast and keep our eyes on God, you know. And then 1 Corinthians, I'm so sorry. Psalm 119:32. Sorry, guys. I told you I'm a hummingbird. Try and warn you guys. Yeah, welcome to my world. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So after Psalm 119:32, we're on 1 Corinthians 9:24-25, which actually states, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control," another word would be self-discipline, "in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." So this is not saying that only one person is going to go to heaven. Only one receives a prize. You're like, whoa. No, that's not what it means. It means that when we are going through a trial and God is putting something before us that we are, you know, that he is putting as a goal and he is saying, this is where I want you to be. We're to run that race as if to win it. We're not to run it. We're not to jog or walk. We're to run it. And the only way that you can run it, you know, is running the race for Christ requires discipline, self-discipline, okay? We are running for our heavenly prize and our training is prayer, Bible study, or just being in the Word, you know, your own Bible study, studying the Word and worship. I also wrote, "Don't jog, run spiritually strong, eyes on God." This is where we need to keep, on all these, we need to keep our eyes on God. But this, you know, is an area where we definitely need good training. And if we don't have good training, we're not going to last the distance. So we will peter out. And if you've ever gone out jogging, Pastor Fee is one of our best examples recently, is where he was out running, sprinting, and all of a sudden his calf gave out, you know. So he was doing something and he was giving it his all. And sometimes, you know, our calf is going to go out because we're not, you know, strong in that area. That's somewhere where he needs to do some weight training, you know, and strengthen that calf muscle before he starts sprinting again. But now it's up to him to do the training that God has called him to do so he can get back out there. And the next time he sprints, his calf won't fail him because he did that strengthening. He did what he needed to do in order to get past that. So that's a running season. The fourth season is sometimes Christians are in a season of sitting. And whenever I think of sinning, it's always symbolic of resting. You know, I always think of resting. Like I said, I probably sit the most in my car. And this is a season where, and it makes me think of resting in the Lord. I always think of a sweet time of fellowship and a refreshing for my soul, soaking in his word and having our spiritual batteries recharged. God always gives us a time of refreshing and rejuvenation, especially after a big trial. He does provide for that. It's up to us to receive it. Sometimes we don't receive it. We're just going, we're running from one thing to another. But God really does allow us different seasons, and he does, after a great battle, he does give us a time of rest. But if we're not listening to him and we're not in the word, we're not going to take that time because we're still on that high. And I know for me that I need to be in the word every day. And I do slow down because I will run so far and just like Fee, my calf will get out. And so if I don't sit myself down and get that time of refreshing and that time that I need to be built up, I know that, you know, God will make me. It's not fun when God makes you. I almost think of like when Fee and Yolanda are training with Dale and they're boxing and they're hitting at Dale and we're watching him because we know Dale can kick their butt. And we're like, and Dale is showing this self-discipline, this self-control, because he knows exactly what he's doing. And they're like, boom, boom, boom. And then he does this. And then you hear him go the knockout, right? You know, in our Christian walk and in the different seasons, sometimes we can get kind of prideful and we can kind of get, you know, oh, look what I did. You know what I mean? And we get through a breakthrough and you know it's God that did it. It's not us. But then sometimes we're like, oh, you know, look what we did, you know. And it's almost like we're sparring with God and we go for that real hit. You know what I mean? And we don't mean to. And God goes, boom, in our gut. And what happens when they hit you in the gut, man? I don't know about you, but I will take back and I'm like, whoa, I'm humbled. And sometimes God has to do that to us in our seasons to make sure that his plan is fulfilled, not ours. So Micah 4:4 in this season of sitting says, and each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. When I read Micah 4:4, I thought of, you know, our seasons are our seasons. They're not other people's seasons. God puts us through our seasons for a purpose and a plan for our lives to bring us closer to the Lord. And sometimes we are looking at other people's seasons and watching what they're going through. And sometimes we're like, oh, you know, I wish I had that season or that trial. You know, that would be so much easier for me. But we're not to do that. We're not to look to other people. And we're not anybody else. We are who we are. We're individuals. And God has fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us individual. And so therefore, the season that we're going through, that God is allowing us to go through, is for a purpose and a plan for him and what he wants to do in us, because we are all being built up to get closer to the Lord until the day that we stand face to face. And So I kind of wanted to mention that, you know, don't look to other people and what they're going through. We're to pray for one another, but we're not to, you know, envy or look at other people. We need to, you know, keep our eyes on God and not to stray away. And this is when sometimes, as women, we can get into gossip. And so when I was studying this, you know, God, of course, always brings out gossip. And when I was looking up gossip, you know, another word for gossip is babble. And the meaning of it was an exaggeration or a fabrication of a story regarding somebody other than the talebearer. Isn't it funny how we can talk about other people's situations better than we can about ourselves? And so when we do that, we get our eyes off of ourself, which is where we need to be, because it's our season with God. And when gossip, when I looked it up, another word for gossip was rumor. And then the Latin word was opinio, which means opinion. So, you know, watch out giving those opinions and assuming that you know what everyone's going through and what their heart is, because you don't. Only God knows the heart. And I don't mean to reiterate that again, but only God knows the heart. So we need to totally look to God in that. Anyways, so in this season of sitting, I was on the page. Another verse was of sitting is Luke 10:39. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. You know, this when we are in a season of sitting, it can be a time of patiently waiting upon the Lord, you know, and Mary sat at his feet, like, and Mary knew, she knew Jesus. She knew him so well that the time that she came in with that flask of oil, and that oil was those essence that were going to be a part of his burial. It was a prophecy of, you know, his death, you know, and that's what's so incredible is she knew him so well that, wow, like she did exactly what she was supposed to do at the right time. And I want to know Jesus so well, my God, so well, that I'll do exactly the right thing at the right time. And so that sitting season is a good one. And in Isaiah 40:31, it says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So if we do have this time of sitting and we're obedient to it and we draw close to God, then we will be rejuvenated, because God wants us to sit and rest before the next season. And he's preparing us for something. Yeah, she's going to get it. I need water. Martha just stood up.
Thank you so much.
Excuse me. So I think my question to everyone here is, you know, if you had to think about it and you had to think about those four different seasons, you know, what season do you see yourself in? Or do you see yourself in multiple seasons? You know, sometimes these can kind of cross over, you know, wherever you are, for as long as you are a born again Christian, you know, you are a child of God, you know, and it is normal to be in one of these seasons. And my biggest thing is a lot of people will come to me and they're like, you know, how are you like so positive? How are you like, how can you walk through these things and not be discouraged? And I guess my answer is, you know, I've always been one of those people that has been a positive person, but it is a choice. You know, you can't, there's an old saying that while I was sitting down, I was praying, it says, you know, we don't get to choose our circumstances, but we can choose our response to that circumstance. You know, when you're going through your seasons, you know, seasons do have, it is hard to wait on the Lord, you know, to sit and be quiet, to find time for God sometimes. But if you do, you know, and you're obedient to God, then you're going to be victorious in that season. And, you know, and that season will produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce for such a time. And it will bless you so much. So the words that are out of your mouth when you're going through different seasons, you know, I just encourage you to not have negative words, because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I know where people are. I know where I'm at when stuff comes out of my mouth. You know, it's a Geiger. It tells you, and it kind of tells you, you know, it tells you to get more in the word, you know, and make those positive decisions. I know that it can be hard. I know that it can be dark, but if you seed out negativity, you know what I mean? You're going to make that season longer. You know, how long do you want to be in that season? You know, I've known people that are going through the same trial over and over again for 10 years, you know, And you can pray with them, and you can give them the word, and you can tell them what to do. But you know what? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. They have to choose it. But when they do, you're right there. You're waiting for it. You're ready to have a party for them. You know, so praise God. You know what I mean? And so I just encourage you to just, it's a choice. You do need to choose how you're going to walk through it. And I guess I want to close with, you know, as we celebrate our Savior's birth, you know, and we enter into this new year, I want to leave you with like 10 things you don't have to worry about. So the 10 things that you don't have to worry about, I don't know why I feel like the Letterman show at this moment, but this is not the Letterman show. Praise you, Jesus. So the first one is the Bible will still have an answer. Number two, prayer will still work. Number three, the Holy Spirit will still move. Number four, God will still inhabit praise. Number five, there will still be anointed preaching. Number six, there will still be the singing of praise. Number seven, God will still pour out blessings on his people. Number eight, there will be room at the cross for his children. Number nine, Jesus loves you. And number 10, Jesus still saves. So for those of you that are unsaved, and you are feeling that stirring in your heart, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's no time like the present." So my friends, you know, I encourage you that if you don't know the Lord, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with faith in your heart and believe on him who died for you and be saved today. And if you chose that right now, I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. I believe on the third day you rose again to give me eternal life. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, and from this day on, I will do my best to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.